Amen. Please do be seated. Thanks, Derek and Jennifer, for leading us through the first part of our service. Let's just pray now as we come to the Lord's Word. Father, thank you for the joy of everything we have in Christ. And Lord, as now we think of what you have given to us and our response, offering our best, our lives to you again in another year that spans out ahead of us, just encourage us in this time and transform us by the renewing of our minds, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible, please do open up to Malachi chapter 1 there. It'll be helpful for you to have that in front of you as we walk down through it. Now, this is Boxing Day, and I don't know what Boxing Day has meant for you down through the years, but growing up in our house, it was always the day of reheated leftovers. I know many of you will probably be having some reheated leftovers today, and I remember it well. No matter how hard my dad tried, he was the main chef in our house, no matter how hard he tried, the reheated leftovers were never quite as good as the fresh meal enjoyed on Christmas Day. The turkey was that little bit drier, the ham that little bit rubberier, that's even a word, and the stuffing that little bit stodgier. Reheated leftovers are never as good an offering as the fresh offering of Christmas Day. In the opening chapter of the book of Malachi, God rebukes his people for offering him leftovers. Not the leftovers of their Christmas dinner, but the leftovers of their lives, their affection, their time, their resources, and their worship. You may not be that familiar with the book of Malachi, but in the days of Malachi, this prophet who ministered around, we think, the mid-400s BC, in his day, the faith and devotion of God's people in Israel was burning low. The people had experienced revitalization during the days of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. They experienced exhortation to rebuild their lives back in the land. But sadly, that revitalization hadn't lasted very long. Apathy and spiritual lethargy characterized the people in Malachi's day. And the apathy manifested itself in various ways, but especially in the way the people were thinking about and worshiping the Lord. Under the Old Testament system of worship, the people were called to dedicate the first and best of their lives unto the Lord as an offering of worship. They were called to set aside the best of their flocks, the best of their crops, the best and first of their income to the Lord. They were kind of to set it apart and say, Lord, this is an offering. We're bringing our best to you to express our thankfulness, our appreciation, and our worship of you. But instead of doing this in Malachi's day, where the people should have been bringing their best as an offering of worship to the Lord, instead the people were bringing their worst. They looked through their flock and found a sick, lame sheep that was about to die. And they thought, that'll do. I'll bring that one to the Lord. Their field crops that were dry and poor, they thought, yeah, we'll bring those ones to the Lord. Instead of offering him the meal of Christmas Day, they were offering the Lord their Boxing Day leftovers. So God sends the prophet Malachi to expose their sinful, cold condition and to call them back to a warmer devotion to the Lord, to call them back to giving their best to the Lord and not just their measly reheated leftovers. And the exhortation in the opening chapter of this book was not just for them then, but it stands written for us now. And so the main message this morning that I want to bring out of this opening chapter is simply this: do not give God your leftovers in 2022. Instead, give him your best. Now, there are three main moves in this passage, and I want to use and work through those three main moves as our outline this morning. First, there's this challenge where the issue of dishonoring God by offering leftovers is exposed. Then the implications of that way in which the people are dishonoring God, they're outlined. And then the call to offer our best is given at the end. So an issue of dishonoring God is exposed, the implications of it are outlined, and then the call to offer our best is issued. So first, let's think of this issue of dishonoring God and how it is exposed here by Malachi and how it relates to this offering of leftovers. Verse 6, after an introduction where God speaks of how he loves his people in a very special way in the first 5 verses, God now speaks to the response his people should give because of his great love. We read God speaking through the prophet, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts." Now, this word was spoken initially to Israel's priests, Israel's leaders, but it stands spoken as anyone today who calls themselves a Christian. For in the New Testament, we are all called priests in Christ. God says in Malachi's day, and through Malachi to us this morning, he says, there's a great problem among you. You're not honoring me with your life. Where is the reverence for me? The recipients of this word in Malachi's day respond quite defensively at the end of verse 6. They ask, "How have we despised your name? How have we dishonored you?" And God answers in verse 7, "By offering polluted food on my altar." But then they respond defensively again and ask, "But how have we polluted you?" And now God speaks and explains what's happening. "When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil?" See how God, through Malachi, is exposing what they're doing. They're supposed to be bringing their best to the Lord, saying, "Lord, you are great, a great God. You have given us everything. So here is the first of my flocks. Here's the best of my crops. I'm bringing it to the temple. I'm bringing it all as an offering and expression of worship. How grateful and thankful I am to you." But imagine it. The blind sheep. That's no use. That'll do. The weak sheep that's about to die. That'll do. And by doing this, think about it. We use the language in the Old Testament of people offering a sacrifice to God. But they were bringing no sacrifice at all. Because that sheep was about to die anyway. There was no loss. There was no real sacrifice to them. It was just their leftovers. That'll do. They were keeping the best for themselves, and anything that was left over, the poor quality, they said, that will do for God. And God said, when you do this, you are totally dishonoring me. Now we have to ask ourselves, don't we? The same question that God asked the people in verse 6. If I am your father, where's my honor? If I am your master, where's your fear? How are you revering me? It's good for us to ask that ourselves, isn't it? But notice, God rebukes his people here not just for their actions in worship, but also for their attitude. Jump down to verse 13. God speaks to the people and says about this whole area of offering their best to the Lord. But you say, what a weariness this is. And you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You know, it's that kind of, oh, we have to worship again. Oh, I have to go and bring an offering to God. Oh, I have to get dressed for church. Oh, I have to serve again. God continues, you bring what's been taken by violence or is lame or sick. You bring this as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Notice, they were seeing in Malachi's day the whole requirement of coming to worship, serving the Lord with their time, their gifts, their money. They saw it as an irksome duty rather than a joyous delight. And they just were like, oh, this whole church thing. This whole worship at the temple thing. Oh, I just wish I didn't have to do it all. Wish I could just spend my boxing day in bed playing with all the stuff that I got yesterday. I wonder, do we ever have this kind of attitude in our Christian lives? Could this charge be leveled against us? You say, oh, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it. Oh. Let's think about our own attitude and actions and how all of this can apply to us this morning. Our attitude towards worship. Do we give ever the impression that the things of God are an onerous obligation rather than a precious privilege? Do we ever wish that the things of God wouldn't interfere with our more important priorities? Could we be accused of having an attitude that counts our privileges as a weariness? It's really challenging, isn't it? Jesus said we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. Summarize that. Give God your best. So first this starts with an attitude. What's your attitude like towards the Lord this morning? Is there honor? Is there reverence? Is there a desire to give him your best? Let's think about our actions then, our lives in general. Do you give God your best in everything you do, or does he just get your leftovers? Let's think specifically of a few areas of life. Think just your affections. That's your emotional interest, your love, your energy. We spend our affections on many, many things. Those who we love around us, and that's good. Our parents, our children, our families, our friends. We spend our affections on many things. But does God just get the leftover of our affections? Or does he get the best? Have we set our love, our emotional energy, our pursuit of satisfaction in relational communion, have we set it on God and said, Lord, you're first? What about our time? Do we give God the best of our time or just the leftovers of our time? How many times do we hear it, you know, oh, I just don't seem to have time for God? And so we don't have communion with the Lord. We don't read our Bibles. We don't pray because we simply can't fit him in. There's an example of giving God our leftovers rather than our best. What about our financial resources? Do you set things up so that you offer first what you've decided in your heart to give to the Lord financially, and then after that you organize your life? Or do you organize your life first, spend, 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 and then there's a wee bit left over, we'll give that to God because we won't really notice that? What about worship? We can give our attention to so many things. I was at the Kingspan Stadium a couple of Friday nights ago, really enjoy watching Ulster play, and it was great to be there with the boys at the back. And I watched people come in, they all get there early, they get there to get the best seats. I know they're all assigned and stuff, but you get the best place, and people sang their hearts out, stand up for the Ulster men, and they cheered, and they stayed around afterwards, and it was just like, yes, so much given to cheering on the Ulster team. And you just think then of the comparable group of Christians coming to worship on a Sunday morning. We maybe arrive a bit late, hurried, distracted, unprepared. We can hardly settle to concentrate in church because our minds are that busy. And the question is, once again, are we giving the Lord our best or our leftovers? God says here in this opening chapter, you giving your leftovers dishonors me. And he asks that question of each of us, where is my honor in your life? Where is your reverence for me? So there is the very challenging issue exposed. Through God's prophet, inscripturated to speak to us today. You're dishonoring me, the Lord says, by offering me your leftovers. Now then, in the next part, the implications of this dishonor are outlined. Three implications of dishonoring God with leftovers are outlined. What happens when we offer God our leftovers? Well, number one, we read here, we exasperate God. Verse 8, the Lord says, try presenting that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? God's saying, look, you bring your worst to your earthly boss. Will he accept that? If you bring your shoddy offerings to your boss at work, you rock up late, you express weariness and disinterest, and do shoddy work in a half-hearted manner, do you think your boss would be pleased with that kind of offering? No way. And actually, God says in verse 10, oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors. Now, that's the doors in the temple. And not kindle fire on my altar in vain. God says, I would rather you didn't come with your leftovers and empty performance without any real heart of love for me. I don't want your fake worship. God said, oh, if there was only someone who would just finally and fully shut the doors so that no one could burn a fake fire on my altar. He's saying, I would rather you didn't come with your leftovers. And that reminds me of Revelation 3 when God spoke to the lukewarm Laodiceans. I know your works, you're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. That means you make me sick. So when we offer leftovers like this, we exasperate God. Second implication, when we offer leftovers, we don't flourish under God's covenant blessings. In verse 10, the Lord says he will take no pleasure in his people or their half-hearted offerings. He said they should not expect blessing from the Lord when they're demonstrating such indifference towards him. In verse 14, he actually says, cursed be the cheat who has a meal in his flock and vows it and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. Now that was God saying, I hate people bringing fakes, pretending. I've got the best meal, I'm going to offer that. And then they sneak in last minute, a sick old dead sheep, but make it look like they're giving their best. God says, should you expect to receive blessing for doing this? Now, there's something here that we see across the whole of Scripture, and we have to balance it out carefully. We are saved by grace through faith. God establishes our relationship with Him by His grace through Christ alone. But as the covenant people in the Old Testament, so the covenant people in the New. If we want to walk in and enjoy all the blessings that are ours in the covenant of grace, we must walk in obedience. We are called to obey the Lord's law by walking in His ways, drawing near to Him. That's how we enjoy the benefits of our salvation. And so we cannot be those who are like anti-law people and they say, well, I'm saved by grace, so I can just do what I want. No. You're saved by grace, so now you walk in grace and you enjoy the blessing of God. That doesn't mean life always goes easy. In fact, life can be very difficult. But you know the blessing of Emmanuel, God's presence with us continually. But if we're offering leftovers, we should not expect to enjoy all the blessings that are ours in Christ. Third implication then of this offering God leftovers. When we do this, we misrepresent God. In verses 11 to 14, God declares three times that He is a great king, that His name is to be feared and honored among all nations. In 1 Peter 1:9, Peter speaks of our identity and calling as God's people. He says, you're a chosen race, you're a royal priesthood. There you go, you're all priests. A holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So here in our passage, God says, I am a great king, a great God to be honored among all the nations. Our identity, explained by Peter in the New Testament, is you're a called out people to proclaim the excellencies and greatness of God. Well, here God says, when you offer your leftovers, you're not making me out to be excellent. You're actually making me look more like a beggar who says, have you got any spare change? And you take it out of your pocket and say, oh, there's 20p. Flick it to him. We are not called to make God look like a beggar. We are called to demonstrate how great He is by offering the best of our lives, not the worst. Once again, God says, you're giving your leftovers dishonors me. The implications are clear. When we dishonor the Lord like this, we exasperate God, we do not flourish under God's covenant blessings, and we misrepresent God. And so, in the final section of the passage, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we turn a corner and see this call to offer our best is given. In 2, 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2, God calls those He's addressing this word to listen and take it to heart. Look at verse 2 of chapter 2. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I'll send the curse upon you and I'll curse your blessings. God's saying here, if you want to enjoy the blessings of my covenant of grace, then you must take this warning to heart. Repent. Turn away from this giving your leftovers and offer your best to the Lord. And I want to exhort you to make a commitment to doing this in 2022. Stop giving God your leftovers and instead offer Him your best. The best of your time, the best of your affections, the best of your resources, the best of your worship. In all you do, strive always to give of your best. Now, how do we do this? Let's just think about this for a few moments. Because I want to make sure that no one hears me wrongly this morning. Forgiving God your best does not mean putting yourself under loads of pressure, running yourself into the ground. Some of you may be here and you're tired after a busy year, tired after a busy Christmas, and you hear me saying, give God your best, and you almost feel overwhelmed by it. You're like, oh, I don't know if I can give any more. But I don't want you to hear me saying that this morning. Because actually, giving God your best may involve, in fact, usually involves, having to have the courage to say no to some things, even good things, so that you can focus on the most important things. I hope you're hearing that loud and clear. Giving God your best doesn't mean doing 100 things and just burning yourself out. It may actually mean saying no to lots of good things to focus on the most important things. It could involve gaining more focus by paring back superfluous things so that you're not dissipating your energy on many good but not priority tasks. I was thinking about when I used to play rugby, when I was thinking about this. The night before a big rugby match, sorry, my illustrations are all based on rugby. For non-sports people, forgive me. The night before a big rugby match, I'm telling you, you were prepared. You went to bed early, your diet was healthy, you had to be really well hydrated, you did everything so that you'd get the best out of you the next day. Giving God your best will not just happen automatically. No one will drift into doing that in 2022. We've got to think it through. What is my priority in 2022? How do I want to love the Lord? How do I want to serve in church? And then when I have that set before me, what do I need to pair off so that I can focus all my energy using my gift to give God my best? Trust me, we all know what it's like to be so run ragged that nothing gets your best. So let's do what's required to make sure that the areas we're serving in 2022 get our best. Whether it's serving on the welcome team at the door, you're saying, I'm going to try and give God my best here. Whether it's serving in the music team, we're called to offer our best. That means practicing. That means being ready, being prepared, not just rocking up late and doing our best. It means giving our best to the Lord. If we're elders, if we're deacons, if we're serving in the women's ministry, the kids' ministry, the creche, the sound desk, making a cup of tea. Try to make it the best cup of tea you've ever made. But let's remember, not just in church. We're not just called to give our best in church. We're called to give our best as Christians in all areas of life. Colossians 3, 23 and 24, we read this. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man. Did you hear that? Work heartily as unto the Lord, not for man, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive your inheritance as a reward. You're serving the Lord Christ. So whatever sphere you work in, offer your best. Whether it's art, finance, cleaning, engineering, secretarial work, stay-at-home mom, doctors, nurses, teachers, shelf stocker in the spa. Students, give your best to the Lord in 2022. Give God your best, not your soggy leftovers. And if you're struggling with motivation, remember the heart of Christmas that we've just celebrated. Because in Christmas, we see God the Father give his best to save us. He gave us his best, his son, so that we could be welcomed home to the Father. And now we are called to respond in view of God's mercy. Paul writes, offer your whole lives, your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So let's respond and say this morning, oh Lord, help me to give my best in the year ahead and beyond. Let's say, Lord, forgive me for the times when I've offered the leftovers, and help me to give you my best once again. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity on this last Sunday of the year to ponder this message you gave through your servant Malachi so many years ago and yet so penetrating and relevant for us today. Lord, we all confess we have been guilty of this sin of giving our best to everything else and then offering you the leftovers. Forgive us for doing that. Forgive us, Lord, for when we will do that. But oh, by your Spirit, help us to offer our best to you. And that should not make us feel an unhealthy pressure. For Lord, we know that you give us your Spirit to help us, to empower us, to give us the desire. You work in us so that we will and work what you want to see. And Lord, we know that this doesn't mean running ourselves ragged, but instead it means gaining more focus on your calling and your gifting us. You want us to focus our energy on what you've called us to do. For some, that might be just praying, giving their best to these last years where they can pray earnestly for the work of this church. For others, that may be serving in different ways, giving their best to the gifting and the way you've called each person to serve. Lord, for some of us, it may mean some hard things. We have to say no to some things we might even really want to do, but it would dissipate our energy and our focus from what is best. Lord, each person will have to work out in their own lives the application of this, and I pray that you'd help us each too by your Spirit. But Lord, remind us that you're here to help us. You're for us, and you want us not to be perfect. We can't just offer perfection, Lord, because we'll fall short. But you just want us to try our best, to give our best to you in Jesus' name, and to trust you with the fruit and the results. You've called us to be faithful, and we just pray that through that faithfulness, we would honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand together and respond with this lovely hymn that expresses our thankfulness to God. My heart is filled with thankfulness. Let's rise and praise the Lord together.
My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who bore my pain upon the depths of my disgrace and gave me life again. Who crushed my curse of sinfulness and clothed me righteousness with power upon my heart. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside, who finds my weaknesses with strength and causes fears to fly. Whose every promise is enough for every step I take, sustaining me with arms of love and crowning me with grace. My heart.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore, in Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please do be seated. This could be a nice way to respond to this message this morning, picking up our prayer guide. Do remember that on the way out. And there's going to be some refreshments served at the back if you could grab them. And then find a wee base to sit and enjoy them. That would be great. And may the Lord bless you as you move into a new year. And may you know Christ more. Amen.